At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Hello everyone and welcome finally back to More Knowing Wheel. Yes, we did the show away together. Sounds like a romantic vacation. It certainly was not.
It definitely was.
It definitely was not. But we're back today. Episode 127 of your favourite Formula One show. Of course, a massive thank you to all of you that persevered throughout the last episode. We apologise for the audio. Clearly, Jamie and myself are not meant to be together, so we're back in our own safe spaces now. And since that last podcast, Jamie, we've actually both been quite busy with a lot of other things, haven't we?
Yeah, hence the lack of uploads since then. But yeah, I think I've stayed in my own bed twice since.
He's got that dog in him.
Well, just for travel, obviously.
obviously. Jamie183, the absolute dog. That is never how I expected to intro one of these podcasts. But yeah, Jamie's obviously, you've been away twice, haven't you, since then?
Yes. Yes, I have. And yes,
the
just got back.
Setting life.
Well, last night. And now we're recording on Wednesday morning for context. So yeah, all good.
I've been to the Belgian Grand Prix, had a lot of fun there. You know, come back, waited for Jamie to return. Apparently as well, for our visual viewers here on YouTube, I've also got the mumps for some reason, so we're not going to look at this side of my chin all morning, please. It's horrendous, and hopefully we'll be back to normal broadcasting from next week, of course. Quickly though, a little bit of housekeeping before we dive into this. You know, we keep mentioning it in every one of the podcasts at the moment. From 2024, Knowing Wheel is going to be shifting away from the Matt212 YouTube channel and onto its own dedicated channel. There'll be a link to that down in the description below. So of course, if you are watching this on YouTube and you want to go check us out there, it would be greatly, greatly appreciated. All of the podcasts are going live there, usually actually before they go live on the Matt212 YouTube channel anyway. But yeah, as we move towards 2024, obviously we're trying to separate this brand out into its own area. So of course, if you follow us as well on various social medias, greatly, greatly appreciated. But Jamie, it's been a while since the Belgian Grand Prix, and to be honest, it kind of felt like there wasn't a huge amount to talk about, is there? Especially when it was so long ago.
Yes. Yeah, we've had this, I think, one other time this season where just because we missed the boat a little bit, it seems a bit pointless to go over it as we usually do. So we'll go over it quickly, I think. But yeah, it was kind of as worryingly as the as the season has kind of been going towards. The race was fairly boring. I'll throw that straight out there, but yeah, obviously Max Verstappen won because it's 2023 and he's the best driver in the best car. So yeah, and behind that it was all right. There was stuff happening, but it wasn't particularly interesting.
Yeah, I mean, really, what can we say? Oscar Piastri, again, you know, we backed him right from the start of the year, but he's doing very, very well. Obviously got that P2 in the sprint race and then got Sainz in the real GP. Perez, you know, a better weekend, you know, goes into the summer break with a tiny bit of momentum, apparently. Although, there's some speculation around his contract, isn't there?
Yeah. Because he's so many points behind Max, there's some sort of release clause.
125. Apparently, if he was over 125 or over behind, he could take a salary cut, was from what we gathered. And he's exactly 125 behind at the moment.
Yeah, unfortunate, really, for Checo. That's one fastest lap difference or something. But we'll have to wait and see if it actually happens. Christian Horner seems to be pleased with him this weekend, so that's all right for Checo.
Yeah, got back towards where he should be. And I mean, looking at the Drivers' Championship, though, behind them, there's still a lot of battles going on as we head into the second half of the year. 1 point between Hamilton and Alonso in P3 and P4 there. 7 points covering Charles Leclerc, Carlos Sainz and George Russell behind them. And then, obviously, Lando Norris already ahead of Lance Stroll, which is rather impressive as well. So, you know, there's a lot of different battles going up and down the order. Is there anything else you want to talk about from the Belgian Grand Prix, or do we want to get just into the meat of the video?
Gasly did well. I like that. Gasly got third place in the sprint. Well done.
He did. It was very odd, wasn't it? And then basically did nothing in the GP.
Did he get a point? No, he didn't get a point. Well, he almost got a point.
Yeah, well, I think this is the problem, isn't it? Now, Alpine, unless they make a big upgrade, are basically going to spend the rest of the year almost getting a point.
Yeah.
Because it's Red Bull, Aston, Mercedes, Ferrari, McLaren now, isn't it?
That is the top five teams. And then you've got Alpine, definitely the sixth fastest team, which means that the other four are basically fighting for scraps, which is why stuff like Albon's P7 that you got in Canada will be huge, because the bottom four teams are basically picking off a point here and there.
Yeah, and it kind of feels like, especially as we head into the second half of the year, unless we get a really, really stupid race, would not surprise me if none of those teams were able to score again.
No, they...
Maybe Williams at Monza.
Some of them definitely will. I think that, like, AlphaTauri scored in Belgium. Like, almost every race, one of them has scored a point or a couple of points.
Yeah, we'll wait and see. We'll wait and see, I suppose. Of course, the other big news, you know, we mentioned Alpine there. It's basically going to be Gasly and Ocon by the end of the year, isn't it, that team? Everyone is getting sacked.
Yeah, and we kind of see this every few years. Alpine / Renault just decide they can't be bothered to do F1 anymore and try and do something to pull out, and then just don't and stay and then rename themselves. And then, yeah, they're very, very confusing. So, yeah, it's interesting because Alain Permain's been there like 25 years or something.
Yeah, and like, longer than that, I think.
Yeah, it seems a... quite strange decision to be making so many changes. Otmar's only been there 18 months or so. So, yeah, it's a bit odd, but the French are the French, aren't they? So we'll leave them to it and see what happens when they've got two drivers and no staff at the end of the year.
Yeah, when Gasly and Ocon are trying to put their own tyres on in the pit stops. It did, however, though, allow us to get the greatest quote from Formula 1 in 2023, didn't it? Otmar Szafnauer, the absolute legend. Did you see this?
I don't think I might have seen it on Twitter, but I don't remember it.
It has gone viral, not just in F1, but just in general circles anyway.
Oh, I do know this, yeah.
But of course, yeah, Otmar Szafnauer talking about, you know, obviously he's made all these signings for personnel that come in for 2024 and 2025. And obviously now he's not going to be able to see those signings. He said it's like trying to get 9 girls pregnant and expecting a baby in a month, which I think is absolutely incredible as a quote there. But, you know, I mean, Alpine again, they're such a weird team. I've seen a lot of calls now as to whether they should sell up shop to Andretti for the near future. You know, they already had that engine deal in place. Obviously, it was more obviously a deal in principle. But that could be a good shank. But of course, on the other hand, you know, one idea that I quite like the idea of is Alpine sell their UK base to Andretti and just work in France. You know, it seems so odd that team is still half and half across the channel.
Yeah, but then the Enstone factory has been run by Renault for like years and years. I'd be sad to see that sold off, but they probably, in my opinion, they should move their engine base to the UK as well, because that would probably make a lot more sense.
Well, I think the problem with that is, of course, that it's French government funded.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, the French government is so strange.
Okay, go on, delve in.
That's all I want to say.
We're going to start a politics channel as well, where Jamie just slates Macron every week or something. But anyway, let's get into the real meat then, Jamie, of the video. Of course, it's the summer break. We are planning on doing a couple of iceberg videos as well over the coming weeks. But today, we want to cast your minds back to, I'm just looking here, the 28th of February, 2023, Jamie. It feels like a long time ago now. It was actually only a week out before the first Grand Prix of the 2023 season. And we made our predictions for the drivers and Constructors' Championship for 2023. Now, of course, we're not at the end of the year yet, so we're not going to tot up the scores entirely. But today Jamie is going to react to the predictions we made, and we're going to just kind of discuss each team and how things have gone. Now, do we want to go from bottom to top, or do we want to go top to bottom in terms of teams?
Go bottom to top.
Okay, wonderful. So, we'll start then with our real life 2023 bottom constructor. 3 points to the name, all courtesy of Yuki Tsunoda, and probably a team that's had more drama than any other. It's AlphaTauri, Jamie.
It is.
What do we make of their season?
I think it's been quite expected. I think I predicted them 10th. I can't remember. I've definitely predicted them down there.
You did predict them 10th.
Oh, well, that's good for me. I think you put Williams bottom, if I remember
correctly. I did put Williams bottom.
That's a bit of an L. But,
well, we'll get into that.
Yeah, I think we kind of said with rule cycles and all that, AlphaTauri generally start on Toro Rosso back in the day. Start off slowly, and then as the teams just get closer and closer together over a five-year period, that's the point where suddenly they're just running a second Red Bull, basically. So yeah, I think their car is probably one of the worst. I would say it's probably the worst in quali pace, and it's definitely down there in race pace too. It's not helped that up until recently, neither of their drivers have particularly pulled up any trees.
Tsunoda's done well.
He's done all right. He's not. I wouldn't say he's done great, and he's been made to look all right with Nyck de Vries. So, yeah, we'll see what happens the rest of the season. But I don't particularly expect them to make that much progress. Well, there is talk of them running the RP19 next year, which would probably put them in second place. So we will see.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing, isn't it, of course, at the moment. AlphaTauri, you know, there's all these talks now that Red Bull could potentially sell off the naming rights to, you know, Hugo Boss. Or, what was the other company that was apparently looking? Orlin, wasn't it? Yeah. Orlin was the other one, of course, who's already one of their big sponsors. I mean, surely, at some point very, very soon, you just start to wonder why AlphaTauri. You know, I get that, obviously, they've been trying to just take up all the wind tunnel time, all the R&D time they possibly can. As you know, they should. But do we think going into 2024, Red Bull will just be giving them every single part they possibly can again? You know, it just seems sensible, doesn't it, at this moment in time?
Yeah, yeah. Because they would... I genuinely think an RB19 next year would probably finish 6th or 7th. Or probably be the fastest, like 6th or 7th fastest car. So, and we've seen it before. The Super Aguri ran a year-old Honda back in the day. And even Toro Rosso themselves used to do it in 08, wasn't it? They ran an old Red Bull.
Well, they were running the same car, weren't they?
With a better engine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's
I think Formula 1, of course, is against that now, though.
Yeah, more so. Although, yeah, you can still get listed parts, obviously, but depends how. You can't just straight up copy anymore, thankfully.
But yeah, I mean, Tsunoda, though, Jamie, you had him predicted for 19th over on the championship. I had him predicted for 18th. The more painful bit for both of us, and I do remember saying it at the time, was that we both said De Vries would be worse, but we thought he'd just get what we dub on this show as a shithouse result. So we both had De Vries one place above Tsunoda, and safe to say we've got that badly wrong.
Yes, unless he comes back. You never know.
I think I've got a good idea he won't be coming back.
Yeah, right now Tsunoda is 17th in the championship with 3 points to his name.
Yes, yeah, and ahead of Kevin Magnussen as well, though, which has been rather impressive. Of course, neither of us predicted Daniel Ricciardo would make a return, so clearly we don't know wheel at all there.
I think we may have spoken about it at some point, maybe once the rumours are happening.
Once the rumours were happening, Jamie, not at the start of pre-season testing, sorry. Yeah, I mean, AlphaTauri, of course, we've always said they're a weird little team. Never have finished last, though, I don't think, in a championship.
I think they not AlphaTauri. Toro Rosso would have done.
I don't think they ever did. I thought they came 9th a couple of times ahead of Force India.
2006. What did they do? They might have beaten
Super Aguri.
They might have beaten Spyker.
Spyker was 7.
Oh yeah.
I'm pretty certain they beat Aguri in 6, Spyker in 7, Force India in 8. They beat everyone in 8.
They were last in 2009, teams. I think.
Were they?
Yes, they were 10th place. They got some points.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they've had points this year as well, haven't they?
Yeah.
But, okay. clearly got that one slightly wrong. So it might be the second time ever they finished last. In 09, you said?
09, they were last, yeah.
Okay, I was going to say, I thought you said 010 for some reason. I was like, they definitely didn't then.
No.
with all the new teams coming in. But let's move on up then, Jamie, to a team that's had a bit of a feel-good story, hasn't it? But I still feel... I'm getting my numbers
wrong
up here.
Right.
We'll get to them soon. Alfa Romeo. What a fall from grace this has been so far, isn't it?
It's just been really weird. Like, their car has shown pace at some points. I'm a Joe fan, so, yeah, I've been following them fairly close. And there's some races... Like Bahrain, for instance, Bottas did strangely well. And then Spain, Joe just randomly finished ninth on actual pace. He was really, really good there. And then obviously in Hungary, they got a double top seven in qualifying. And then it completely blew up in the race.
Absolutely pooed themselves at the start of the Grand Prix. What do you mean the car's awful?
It was
a sense of failure.
They keep telling you
it was a sense of failure.
You're waffling.
How is Joe the only driver that keeps getting sense of
failure? No, Bottas had it too, but he just pulled away better.
Oh, so he knows how to start a
Formula One car. It wasn't the launching. It was actually a sense of failure, which meant he had to pull away normally like he does from a pit stop. But the launch control didn't work. That's an actual
fact. There is no launch control.
Not launch control, but like the... you know what I mean. The race start procedure.
I can't wait for Jamie to accidentally just outed Alfa Romeo as cheaters in launch control.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Yeah, no, but like the car seems to have bits of pace, but even they've been quite good at fumbling really good results in the past as well. I remember when Raikkonen drove for the team, anytime there was an opportunity, stuff like Monza 2020, stuff like Mugello, or what was the Hungary 2021 as well, where like these are random races where you have potential to get points. And those were the times when the likes of Williams used to score points, or people like that. Actually, Alfa Romeo are really good at messing up those races.
It's not spoke about enough, is it? But yeah. Alfa Romeo, yeah, are incredible at fumbling at the moment.
Yeah, so I think they'll pick up some more points the rest of the year. I think Joe and Bottas are both doing all right. I don't think either of them will get replaced.
Well, it looks like, yeah, they want to extend contracts, don't they, even though Porcher's now winning Formula 2.
Oh dear, that sounds like Teo Porcher out the window as well. yes, I just think the consistency of driver is quite important. And when you're trying to make progress, not sticking a rookie in halfway through the process, because Joe's going to have 2 years experience by the end of this year. I think it makes sense to retain. And if Teo, like, a year out is kind of the norm now, almost for F2 champions, especially the ones who don't win it on their debut season. Like, so Porcher's been in there 3 years, which... apparently makes him washed if you ask anyone else on Joe's driving, but there we go.
let's also, you know, just talk about the elephant in the room there, Jamie. How old was Zhou Guanyu when he made his F1 debut? 23, 24?
How old was Lewis Hamilton when he made his debut?
That's not the point I'm trying to make.
23?
23, yeah, but that was a lot more common back then. obviously, Teo Porcher, third year of Formula 2. You know, I can't argue with that. That is a fact. Still only 19, though, isn't he?
No, he's going to be 20 by the end of the year. Is he not?
I don't know.
He definitely made his debut at 17.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's 20. Oh, no, he's not. He only just turned 19. What?
Yeah, see? See?
Wow.
Yeah.
He's young. Young boy.
He is young. And, you know, it's. I think, to be honest, more the question's got to be, you know, are Audi eyeing him up, potentially?
I think Audi are eyeing up Carlos Sainz. But that's that's a story for another
time. And, I mean, after Belgium, I'm not sure. I mean, I get why you'd eye up Carlos Sainz, because, of course, I'd argue he's actually an incredibly good adaptable driver.
Very adaptable, very consistent, but doesn't have that killer instinct.
No, exactly.
Where do we predict Alfa Romeo?
We both predicted them 7th overall. Okay. So we did predict a small fall-off.
They arguably should be finishing 7th with the car they have, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that... them or Haas, I think that's fair.
No, Haas have no race pace in the slightest.
I'll behave. It's just because Hülkenberg can't race a car.
Well, he's got more points than Magnussen. So.
He does have more points than Magnussen, but Magnussen can't qualify a car, so, you know, swings and roundabouts. But in terms then, obviously, so Bottas and Zhou 15th and 16th overall in the championship. You predicted Bottas in 12th and Zhou in 13th, so a little bit optimistic from you there.
Slightly.
I predicted Bottas in 13th and Zhou in 15th.
Okay.
So not as optimistic from myself, but of course, yeah.
Still a little bit optimistic.
still on the optimistic side, but then again, we were expecting them to finish 7th, so, you know, it is what it is. Up next then, Jamie, is going to be Haas. What do we make of them so far?
Hulk's done much better than I thought he would. I'll put that straight out
much
there.
Much better than you thought he would. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Like, when he came back, I was like, okay, that's cool, but I don't think he'll do that well because he had 3 years out. He's still ridiculously fast, especially over one lap. So
I think ridiculously fast is strong.
No,
way of wording
give him
it.
Some credit. Give him some credit.
He's been a good qualifier this year, but I also, you know, as we just mentioned, the Haas car is a pretty decent... It's a bit like the Williams, isn't it? It's very, very decent over one lap. And, of course, we always forget as well, Haas just have, like, 3 tracks that they're really good at. And, obviously, until Hülkenberg had that engine failure, it looked like he'd been able to capitalise at those 3 tracks.
Yeah, although I don't think he was getting points in the Austria race.
Probably not, no.
The tyre wear of that car is horrendous for both drivers. Like, Magnussen has spent half of the season just battling De Vries for last place.
It has been the best battle of 2023, wasn't it? That whole saga.
Yeah, it was, what, 3 races in a row where they just crashed. It's like, what is this? But, I think Hulk's doing incredibly well. Magnussen, less so. And if they were to replace one driver, it would definitely be Magnussen for next year. I don't think they will. But, Hulk obviously has the front row start, which was robbed from him in Canada. And he was running second.
So remind me again what he did in Canada to get that robbed off him? I'm pretty certain he got a penalty.
Oh,
didn't
he sped under red flag, didn't he? Yeah, that's a bit dumb.
He did speed under the red flag.
Yeah, but he still qualified second and then qualified 4th in Austria. He's doing incredibly well. He's had, I think before Belgium, he was equal for Q3s with Checo Perez, which kind of says quite a lot.
I think he might have been one behind, but yeah.
Yeah, he's one behind now after Spa. But yeah, Haas are just a really strange team because you kind of have some good characters there. I think both drivers are quite funny. Obviously, Gunther Steiner is a big part of that, but like operationally as a team, they're just not very serious. So it's hard to see what their progress is going to be, what their long game is without investment. I think 8th place is kind of about right for them. I think if they finish 9th, that also would be quite fair for the end of the season, but yeah, we'll see.
I think that's a fair assessment of everything going on. I don't think I've really got much to add. I think Haas need to have that big reshuffle at some point in the near future. You know, whether it could be them that look towards Teo Porcher, you just don't know. But we actually both got Haas bang on in 8th place,
wow.
Jamie.
So I bet you put Magnussen ahead of Hulk because you're a snake.
I did put Magnussen ahead of Hulk. So obviously, real life Hülkenberg is in P14. I predicted him 16th. You predicted him 15th. Magnussen is in 18th. You predicted him in 16th. I predicted him in 14th. So we were both slightly optimistic there on the Haas front, despite the fact we got the team in the right position. Then we move on up, Jamie, and what a miracle it would be if they can hold on to this. Williams tied with Haas, but better on count back. They're on 11 points and in 7th.
Yeah, thanks solely to Alex Albon. Who's doing incredibly this season, probably one of the top performers of the season. The car is an absolute bullet. That's all it is, really. Because they can't really do corners, they can't really do wind. But they've got an absolute rocket ship in a straight line. So, yeah, you can see that by where he scored points in Bahrain, Canada and Silverstone. Because they're probably the tracks with the most on-throttle time that they've done so far, I would say. Certainly Silverstone is. It's incredibly hard to pass. So if you get Albon doing a great job of qualifying, which he has done on many occasions, and then he just has a good start, gets up into P6, P7, suddenly it's almost impossible to overtake him because most cars with DRS are then equal to the Williams without DRS, which is mad.
It's an incredible strategy, isn't it? Because, I mean, we did speak about this, and Red Bull have kind of done the same thing, but as Formula One is trying to make every track fantastic for racing, and that just means make them all straight lines.
Yeah.
It makes sense to have a car that's just ridiculously good on straight lines.
Like, you play the hand you get dealt. Like, you look at the new track, Saudi Arabia, even Qatar, even though it's not obviously designed new, but
stuff, Vegas.
Vegas, yeah. They're all just very long straights. Miami as well, very long straights with little tight twisty sections where you can't pass. So if you make sure you don't get passed on the straights, you're going to be fine.
It's a pretty damn good strategy to have, yeah. Isn't it? Of course, you mentioned Sargeant there. It's been weird, hasn't it, Logan Sargeant, yeah, in that second seat? He hasn't really done anything wrong, I would argue.
He's just had little mistakes.
But he hasn't really done anything right either.
No, he's had a lot of small mistakes, to be fair. Like, if you think about race by race, like, he's definitely an unpolished rookie. But that's kind of fair, because he was not expected to be an F1 this year until all the fallout with Piastri and Alonso happened. So, yeah, and he has always taken a full year, kind of like Mick Schumacher, taken a full year to adapt to a new formula. But I think he's got to start doing better, to be honest. I think, yeah, he's had a lot of random spins, like in quali or the race, and a few times he's just really, really lacked pace.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we're kind of at this weird crossroads now, aren't we, with Williams, of, you know, is this just, again, a bit of a flash in the pan, you know, similar sort of 2014, 2015, where they, you know, sort of up on performance again, or is this, you know, really Williams starting to rebuild and restructure? And, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't think, you know, they've got anything to suggest they'll be a championship winner again anytime soon. But, you know, could we see them beefing out with Alpine, you know, towards the front of that midfield in the near future? Could they do a McLaren and make a big leap forward towards the front again? You know, if they get something right with the car? We don't quite know. But
I rate
of course,
James Vowles is doing that team.
He's doing a fantastic job. Yeah. He's doing an absolutely fantastic job at the moment. I think, you know, the way he talks about that team as well, it's clear that, I know obviously we were a little bit worried, of course, because it was quite a big step up for him. But he's, yeah, absolutely smashed it out of the park, isn't he, so far this year. And it's fantastic to see. But, you know, I think Williams will probably retain Sargeant for next year.
Yeah, I think they will.
But I think then, you know, if it's getting to the point where Albon is, you know, sort of potentially, you know, battling inside that, you know, he's ahead of all the other backmarkers at the moment. But, you know, still on half the points of Pierre Gasly. You know, if it gets to the point next year where, you know, say they're battling with Alpine and, you know, that kind of thing, could we see Sargeant get dropped? It just makes you wonder sort of the direction that Williams need to take it.
Yeah. Where do we put them? I think bad.
You said 9th. I said 10th. I really just expected Williams to get a bit unlucky this year. So we both had Sargeant in last place overall, P20. He's currently P19. You had Albon in 17th. I had him in 19th, and he is currently 13th. So we massively... Yeah. Underplayed on the Williams
front.
Though
I do think they should be 9th or 8th with their car on overall pace. But obviously, when you specialise it to do straights really well, that's quite a good strategy, as we said. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a bit of a weird one, isn't it? Because probably, yeah, on raw pace, they are the 8th or 9th fastest car. But obviously, sensibly, there's been tracks where they are the 7th fastest car, so they deserve to be P7.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, they've got the points.
Sometimes even higher than that.
Points mean prizes.
They absolutely do, and that prize money could be very, very useful come the end of the year. Let's move on up, though, Jamie. Obviously, a team that we mentioned in the intro and a bit of an odd one. It's Alpine, of course. You're kind of still a fan of them, I suppose.
I like
Gasly. You like Gasly. Aren't you an Esteban Ocon fan? I've heard you chanting Esti Besti before.
Absolutely.
Such
not.
Such a shite chant, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's an absolute Twitter merchant chant, that one. But yeah, Alpine are just really weird. I just don't get them as a team. I've had to go through the cycle of having to support them when Hulk was there, and still kind of when Gasly is there, although I kind of hope he gets out because it's a bit of a sinking ship.
Where's he gonna go?
Yeah, I don't know, that's the problem. It's kind of the best place for him, but it's not good.
He's back to Super Formula.
Yeah. Yes, but I mean, both drivers are actually doing pretty well. Gasly's been horrendously unlucky.
Oh, behave.
No, he has been.
I was waiting for your Gasly excuse.
He has been really unlucky this season. But Ocon has been very consistent, as he kind of always has been. And obviously the shining point for both drivers is that random third place they got. One at Monaco and one at the Belgium Sprint. So, yeah, I think both drivers are all right. Their team overall is obviously not doing that well. And
well, what team?
Well, yeah, exactly. They've all left. And they kind of have been given two wake-up calls this season. One at the beginning when Aston Martin were just rapid, and they're like, oh, how have they done that? And we're rubbish. And then later on in the season when McLaren started going quick, they're like, oh, another team made progress and we haven't. But we've been saying for about 10 years that we've got a 100 race plan that resets every 30 races. So, yeah.
And of course, you know, the big talks now as well is about this engine balance of performance, isn't it? Alpine now believe they're about 30 bhp down on everyone else again.
Which, they're the only team running their engine, so.
Exactly. Yeah. They've got nothing to compare that to. You know, it could end up being a little bit like McLaren, wasn't it, when they had the Honda power units, you know, slagging them off all the time, and then they get the Renault power units and they're still awful.
Yeah.
So it makes you realise that actually it's the car, not the engine. But yeah, Alpine, yeah, just bizarre, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, we mentioned, obviously, could we see them drop out? I don't think that's going to be the case anytime soon, to be honest,
no,
still.
No, I don't think it will.
But yeah, more and more questions have got to be getting raised, haven't they? You know, like you said, we've seen Aston Martin fight back to the front. We're seeing McLaren fighting back towards the front. Why aren't Alpine?
Yeah, yeah, because they've been saying they will for ages. Where do we put them?
So we both predicted them in fifth overall in the championship.
Okay.
So you said Gasly would beat Ocon.
That's not out of the question.
I think it's unlikely when you look at the big five teams now.
That's
13 points, yeah. A
couple of seventh places.
So you said Gasly in ninth, Ocon in 10th. I said vice versa. Ocon is currently in 10th, so you have got him bang on.
There we go.
To be fair to you. But Gasly, we both over-predicted there, down in P12. Moving on up, though, Jamie, to probably one of the weirdest teams so far in 2023, wasn't it? That has got to be the bizarre tale of McLaren's apparent resurgence.
Yes. Yeah, it's very strange. And actually, yeah, I've never seen an upgrade. I guess it was kind of a B-spec car, but I've never seen an upgrade do so much in one go. Because literally, in Canada, they didn't get points. In Spain, they didn't get points. They scraped 9th and 10th in Monaco.
To be fair, they were third on the grid in Spain.
Yeah.
Just Lando scuffed it at turn one.
Yeah. And then they scraped 9th and 10th in Monaco, and then they got no points at Miami. And then
Miami, they were the slowest.
They were
car.
The slowest team for sure. And then Lando gets this upgrade in Austria. Piastri's finishing 16th with the old car, and Lando's just finishing fourth and battling Mercedes and Ferraris. And it's like, oh, hang on, I know Lando's good at Austria, but how's this happened? And then he goes and puts it on the front row at Silverstone and gets P2. And it's like, oh, maybe their car's just gone on the straights. And then he goes and gets a second place at Hungary, and it's like, oh, maybe their car's just good. And then Piastri is probably the driver of the weekend, and well, up until the race start, when he arguably messed up.
The driver of the weekend until the bit that wards all the points.
Yeah, and it's just like, wow, where's this come from? I have no idea why their car was so bad at the start of the year. But yeah, they're really good now. I genuinely think, before I commit to anything, actually they're like 90 points behind Ferrari. I don't think they'll beat Ferrari.
Yeah, they're still a long way back.
But
could happen.
I think they are probably the third fastest team at the minute.
Behind who?
Mercedes and Red Bull.
You reckon they're still slower than Merck?
Well, it's very close with Mercedes, I think. But
I think it is
maybe,
more track dependent,
yeah,
still between Merck, McLaren, Ferrari and Aston Martin.
Yeah, which makes it great. Honestly, if Verstappen wasn't in the championship, it would be incredible. Because you've had about, what, six different winners? How many people have finished second?
Perez has... Alonso, Hamilton,
Leclerc, Russell, and Norris.
Russell hasn't finished second.
Oh no, he hasn't. Yeah,
I don't think.
No.
And obviously Piastri in the sprint.
Yeah, yeah. So it would have been like six, seven different winners if you count Piastri. But
banned Red Bull, pretty simple.
Well, yeah. Even just banned Verstappen, although Perez without the pressure of beating Max, Perez would be walking away with it, to be honest. But
oh, absolutely, yeah, yeah. So I mean, McLaren though, it's good to see them back fighting. I mean, it's kind of in a similar vein to 2021, wasn't it, where they were beefing Ferrari, or 2020 as well, of course, where they were beefing Ferrari.
Yeah, although
you know,
I think
the fact that up until
now,
pretty much the summer break, Lando was still ahead of Perez and Bottas in 2021, was absolutely mental.
Yeah, and Lando is one of the best drivers on the grid, probably.
Oh, absolutely.
Top
absolutely
four. I think I'd put him fourth.
And I think it makes it even more impressive that Oscar Piastri has not been destroyed.
Piastri's doing completely commendably, for sure.
I do wonder, you know, in the not too distant future, whether, you know, this could be the pressure that Norris really needs, or could be the pressure that breaks him, if Oscar Piastri, you know, because I think the thing is what I love about Oscar as well. I'm going to go out on a limb here, Jamie. This might be quite shocking to some people. I might honestly be a bigger Piastri fan than I am a Lando Norris fan at the moment.
Wow.
I think the way Lando's sometimes conducting himself, I think he's a bit too, not necessarily comfortable, and it makes F1 sound a bit too old school necessarily.
But he's a little bit complainy. I got that just on the radio in Spa. He was very
He's
down.
A bit complainy, and he's kind of a bit too comfortable with where he is at the moment, I feel. Obviously, he's had 2 years of just kicking the bottom out of Daniel Ricciardo in a car that suits him. Don't get me wrong, I still think he's an absolutely fantastic driver, but, you know, it was things like the apology for breaking Max's trophy at Hungary and things like that, where he's literally smirking as he does it. I get why, obviously, it's funny to a lot of people, but, you know, Oscar Piastri is an absolute out-and-out. He's here to race. I mean, you know, yeah. He's a bit like a modern-day Kimi. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I
Doesn't
do
say many words.
Really, really warm to him. I think, you know, I'd loved him in Formula 2. I know you didn't, obviously, because he was
only because he's a rival.
Butt.
I think he's a great driver.
Oh, yeah, no, I didn't think you were ever arguing about his talent. I think you just obviously, you, the fact you liked someone that he was beating quite comfortably. Yeah. But Piastri, I think, is absolutely the real deal. And I would be intrigued as we head out of the summer break, because Spa was the first proper weekend where he was comfortably, you know, just had those extra couple of tenths over Lando. You know, second half of the year, maybe, you know, it could be a case of, obviously, Lando Norris has signed that long-term deal at McLaren. You know, if Oscar Piastri starts beating him, you know, more regularly, could he be trying to look for a way out?
I think Lando's quality. I think
he's... Oh, absolutely. But I think, I do genuinely believe Oscar Piastri's got the potential to be better.
Yeah. Yeah, although Lando's still young as well. Yeah, Lando's, what, 23?
Lando's 23. Piastri's 21. Or 22, Piastri
22,
might be.
But
I absolutely, do believe Oscar Piastri.
Yeah, and you forget
in
he's a rookie,
future.
Which is a great compliment.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the fact that, you know, Sargent, as we've said, obviously has done mediocrely. Obviously, we've already spoke about Nick DeVries. But Piastri just, I mean, this is what obviously did in Formula 2, did in Formula 3, did obviously in Formula Renault as well. He gets into a car and he just can almost immediately get 99% out of it.
Yeah.
And now he's finding that last percent.
And that's exactly what Raikkonen did in any car he drove. He's rapid. He does remind me of an Australian Kimi.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, absolutely brilliant. I love him. And, of course, I love his parents on Twitter. You know, we've got to give a shout-out to them, because the amount of comments I see, I mean, they've basically gone viral, haven't they, recently?
Yeah.
People are in love with his mum telling him off all the time and things like that. But we both predicted Jamie McLaren in sixth, so we've got that one wrong again, them and Alpine the wrong way round.
Yeah.
Although, however,
to be fair to us, we couldn't have predicted them to suddenly have the second fastest car with an upgrade. So
no, we couldn't. So we've done all right there. We both got Norris bang on. We said eighth place for him. That could change by the end of the year. It would not surprise me if he beats out a Sainz or a Leclerc or something, or a George Russell potentially. You said Piastri in P14.
Wow.
So you really didn't believe in Oscar Piastri.
I just think it was going to be close.
I, however, had Piastri in 11th. So I've got the McLaren lineup bang on, which I'm taking the points for.
I fully don't think Piastri will stay 11th, but I also think he'll not stay 14th. So
Fair enough. I think that's an interesting call. Four more teams to go, though, Jamie. Next up is,
Ferrari,
if I'm led to believe correctly, is Ferrari.
Indeed, and yeah, what is going on? Who knows?
It's
kind of
Ferrari.
It's the nature of this season that every couple of races, the team in second place changes, and based on, I don't know, car pace or just the nature of the track they're at. But Ferrari have had the second fastest car at some races, definitely at Bahrain, I would say, probably at Baku, they got pole there. And certainly Belgium more recently. But there's just some races where they're just easily the fourth best. And that leaves them...
Like Saudi.
Yeah. And that leaves them in seventh and eighth. And it's like...
Sixth and eighth.
Well, sixth and seventh in Saudi, but like...
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant in the championship.
No.
And that's wrong anyway, yeah.
When they're...
Yeah,
battling.
No, I know what you mean. Sorry. Yeah.
Like, if you're the fourth fastest team, when no one's having a problem, you're getting 10 points from a race. And it's like, okay... That's quite bad. So yeah, Ferrari have just been strangely mediocre. And I think, yeah, they probably will... Like, obviously no one expected Aston Martin to make this leap. they could beat out Aston Martin by the end of the season, but yeah, I think when Leclerc was battling for, well, supposedly battling for a championship last year, until he started crashing in France, and even before that in Imola, I suppose. Yeah, it's a bit of a shame for Ferrari. And I think Sainz is doing consistently well, but as we said, doesn't really have that cutting edge. Leclerc has been quick on occasion, but crashed more than he should have done. And yeah, that kind of sums it up.
Yeah, it really has been a tale of two halves, hasn't it, down at Ferrari? Because Leclerc, you could probably easily count up 30, 40 points that he's lost this year. You know, 15 in Bahrain for the reliability. You know, the accidents that he's had at a couple of other venues as well. Sensibly, I think, you know, had everything gone right, he probably should have been in that battle with Alonso and Hamilton, which would showcase that Aston Martin, Mercedes and Ferrari have all had, you know, the second fastest car this season. But the fact that he's only 7 points ahead of Sainz, and that's just been the fact that Sainz has gone into every weekend and got the job done rather than been brilliant. You know, Sainz, yeah, I think, has still had the second best average qualifying position this year. But, I mean, he's got, what, one podium to show for it? Has Sainz been on the podium?
No, he hasn't.
I think he has one.
He had one in a sprint.
Yeah, one in a sprint, sorry, yeah. So it hasn't even had a podium yet. But it's still, yeah, just 7 points behind Charles. And, I mean, Charles, to be honest, is quite lucky to be ahead of Russell with the way things are looking. But I think, you know, you mentioned Aston Martin there. I think they will get the better of Aston Martin by the end of the year. You know, obviously they've taken a big step backwards recently, as obviously we kind of predicted they would. You know, we kind of thought it was not necessarily a flash in the pan, but just obviously, you know, their first time really fighting towards the front, they were going to start struggling, you know, with against Mercedes and Ferrari. So you predicted Ferrari P3. I actually predicted them P2, Jamie, in the championship.
Interesting.
So Leclerc is currently fifth in the driver's table. You predicted fourth. I predicted second again. Not great for me, I'll admit. But Sainz, he's currently seventh, and we both predicted him in sixth.
Okay. Yeah, I'll accept that for Ferrari.
Yeah, I think it's about, you know, I think, like we said, I reckon they'll still get P3 overall come the end of the year. But I think Mercedes are just a bit too consistent. And I think, you know, Lewis is finding that love again with the sport, you know, that he really missed out on in 2022, which I think, you know, could still be argued he is, you know, Mercedes' X factor still.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
A lot of the talk was suddenly about George, but I think, yeah, Lewis has.
But Russell was never really beating Hamilton. We'll get onto it later.
We will, in just a moment. Aston Martin, though, up next. Again, another feel-good story, but, you know, the power and balance of recent time, isn't it, has really kind of swung that.
Yeah. And they were definitely the shock at the beginning of the season. Apologies for the yawn. but they've kind of gone off the boil a little bit more recently, although fifth place in Belgium wasn't that bad for Alonso, but then he got a podium in all but two of the first eight races, so, and then none since then. So, yeah, Alonso is performing incredibly well, and it's really cool to see him back at the front, I think. But the car has lacked a bit recently. And then Lance Stroll, what's going on with him? Who knows?
Well, it's Lance Stroll, isn't he? Pretty much sums it up.
Yeah, he's had one top five finish this season. Alonso's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
One top five finish in what has often been the second best car.
Yeah, and even that top five, he did his best to mess it up in Melbourne, but got lucky.
Oh, yeah. He shouldn't have even had that, should he? It should have been a DNF.
Yeah.
What would Stroll's best result be without that, then?
Sixth. Yeah, a couple of sixth places, yeah.
Madness.
But,
madness.
Yeah, I think Alonso's doing incredibly well. I think he's got his love for the sport. He's a great character to have on the sport. He's dating Taylor Swift. So, you know, life's
going very
well.
Forgot about that.
For Alonso. Lance Stroll is... He actually seems a bit disenchanted with it, which is a bit of a shame for him. I do wonder if at some point he just calls it quits.
Well, this is what we said, though, obviously, when Alonso was announced to Aston Martin, wasn't it? Stroll's kind of had those couple of years where he's gone up against Seb, who, let's be fair,
it's a bit
you know, was not the Seb that we used to, you know, absolutely hate, as he would run rings around everyone.
As he was doing,
so, of course,
a Max.
There was probably a little bit from Stroll going, well, I'm keeping up with a four-time world champion. I'm standing my own. Daddy, bring in whoever you like. So, obviously, Alonso's gone, well, I want to get money. And we said before, we said obviously as soon as it was announced, Alonso was going to bully the kid.
Yeah.
And I mean, he hasn't necessarily off the track. You know, he's been very, very supportive of that.
He's been very diplomatic, actually.
In what has been bizarre to watch, and honestly, I think I dislike this version of Alonso more than the normal one, who's just a dick for being the sake of a dick.
But watching Lance on the screens and saying, what a great move, when he's battling for 12th exactly. and Alonso's in third, it's like, okay.
But, like, on the track, Alonso has absolutely wiped the floor with him, hasn't he? You know, I think Stroll's beaten him once in a race, twice in qualifying. My favourite one of those, of course, was in Barcelona, where Fernando Alonso's home race, Aston Martin had a bit of a nightmare, and Stroll was just quicker.
Yeah.
Throughout most of the weekend was quite funny. But yeah, the fact he's on 47 points behind Lando Norris, and really on half of the points of the cars he should sensibly be battling.
Well, he's got a third of the points
just
of Alonso.
Lance Stroll, isn't it? Exactly, yeah. But even then, he should be in that battle with Leclerc, Russell and Sainz.
Yeah, if you stuck... Even arguably an Ocon or a Gasly or a Hulk or an Albon, I think they would be in the fight with Leclerc and Russell and Sainz.
Yes, yeah, easy, easy. It's just Lance Stroll, isn't it? You know, a few bad qualifying sessions here and there, and obviously the Aston Martin car that's fallen off slightly.
Maybe this
Do
is
I
his,
think he'll give it up? No.
Maybe this is his dad's idea to, instead of like having to fund an entire career, he just funds Stroll until he gets battered by enough world champions to leave.
Yeah, I just feel like Stroll won't give up. That's kind of my problem. He's like a bad fart, just always lingering.
Fair. I wonder, because obviously Lawrence Stroll only owns, what, 25%, isn't it, of the team? So
if
the bad performances do continue, it's how much pulling power does he have? Obviously, he owns...
Quite a lot, Jamie, I'm still left to believe.
Yeah. But it's like, if the other 75% all think we should get rid of him, would Lawrence Stroll leave? I think Lawrence Stroll sees the vision and would stay, whether Lance was there or not.
Yeah, I think he'd quite happily walk away with his profits and invest it elsewhere. I'm sure, you know, you could have a Haas or a Alfa Romeo. Well, it won't be Alfa Romeo, will it? It could be, you know, Williams, something like that, that would quite happily take a few pennies to put Stroll in the car for a couple of seasons.
Maybe, yeah.
But obviously, yeah, Aston Martin's still currently P3. I'm in the mindset of they will finish the year in fourth. I think Ferrari should get the better of them. But we both predicted them in fourth. Alonso is currently obviously third in the championship, 1 point clear of Hamilton. We both predicted him in seventh. You predicted Stroll in 11th. I predicted him 12th. And of course, currently he is in 9th place overall, but probably could at least finish 10th behind
Piastri. Yeah.
And might lose to Ocon if things go really badly.
Yes. Yeah, I think Aston Martin, Alonso down in 7th is a bit harsh, but I guess at the start of the year, we couldn't really believe how fast they were. So.
No, I think we kind of, I think we still had this big three in our head, and Alonso was just going to be comfortably the best of the rest, wasn't it? Which, you know, potentially on how bad Aston Martin fall could still end up being the case by the end of the year.
Not sure.
But no, I don't think he'd come all the way down. I reckon he could sit into quite a lonely fourth or might get jumped by Leclerc and Russell. But I still see him beating Sainz by the end of the year. And that leaves us then, Jamie, with our big two, Mercedes and Red Bull.
Yes, and it's nice to see Mercedes back, I think. I think the pole in Hungary, I was genuinely quite happy about as a complete non-Hamilton fan.
But, we love him.
Yeah, it was nice to see. I like to see happy Lewis, as long as he's not beating Verstappen. But yeah, it's a good progression year for Mercedes. I think they probably didn't expect to be winning the championship, but to be definitely second best on consistency and overall pace is good for them. Although on races, like arguably they've not been second fastest that many times. It's just they've always been second or third. And the other teams who have been second or fifth or sixth.
Fifth or sixth?
No, like as in... No, I mean like Mercedes, you go into a race weekend, Mercedes are usually second fastest or third fastest. You take Ferrari or McLaren, they've been second fastest or fourth or fifth fastest.
Right, okay. That's, very, very different to sixth fastest.
Yeah, I suppose.
I think as well, you might not be giving Mercedes enough credit there, because I think they've still got the best driver pairing in the sport.
Probably. Although Russell's not been brilliant this season, I would say.
He's been unlucky on a couple of occasions as well, but I certainly think he's kind of been, Hamilton's kind of putting back in his place slightly.
Yeah.
But I think the other thing as well that we kind of forget about Mercedes, of course, is that, obviously when they were prolific winners, obviously it was more obvious. But they are getting the job done almost every week, aren't they, still?
Yeah, and they're very,
often
very
they are able to capitalise.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think they're getting as much out of the car as you could reasonably expect. Obviously, Hamilton probably will finish third overall.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
I think he deserves it with the season he's having.
And Russell has been quite unlucky. Melbourne, for instance, he was effectively leading, then got unlucky, then got an engine failure. Canada was probably a bad mistake. Could have come third. Canada was a very poor mistake from him. And on occasion, he's, yeah, not just had the pace of Lewis, which is understandable when you've got the second best driver of all time. But yeah.
Well, yeah, I suppose that is right behind Senna, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, I think Mercedes, though, I mean, you predicted him P2. You had him bang on.
There we go.
I still, you know, didn't want to get optimistic about my boys, so I had them in P3. However, you did predict Russell to beat Hamilton still again.
Wow. I don't,
you thought
wow.
that was the shift that was going to stay. How do you feel about
it's only,
that, Jamie?
Only 50 points. You never know. Actually, that's a lot.
Only 50 points. That's half of Russell's points this year, my friend.
Yeah. I don't expect that to, yeah, to change. I'll take the L on that one.
No, no. Yeah, so you predicted, Russell in fourth. I predicted him in fifth. Obviously, he's currently sixth, but fifth is definitely still possible.
I mean, fourth
could be doable by the end of the year. Yeah, exactly. You predicted Hamilton in P5. Obviously, he's currently fourth, and I predicted him P3, which I think we've, as we both said,
probably reasonable.
Probably should be or could be the case by the end of the year as well. And that brings us on then, Jamie, to Red Bull.
Yes, and there's not a lot to say, really, is there? They're just insane. No.
It's just been boring as all hell.
But I mean, credit where credit's due. They are ridiculous.
Oh, absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
They're like, you know, I don't think the RB19 is the fastest car I've ever seen. But I think
In what metric are you
like,
saying that?
In the pace compared to the rest of the field.
Oh, no. You've got Williams back in the day that had a bigger advantage over P2 than... teams do now over the entire grid.
But I think the way Red Bull are run and the professionalism they go for and the perfectionism they go for, they're just really, really hard to beat. When they're
cooking.
Yeah. I don't think they'll win every race. I would like to think there's a race where another team wins, but I struggle to see how.
I mean, but this is the thing though, isn't it? Like, obviously no team has ever won every race in a Formula One season. And this is what I've been saying since the start. There is a huge hopeful part of me, of course, that just means, you know, either a Mercedes snooker away a win somewhere. You know, there's a Red Bull, you know, Perez is having a day off and Verstappen has a mechanical failure, something like that, or a rogue incident. You know, really we're looking back at the 1988 Italian Grand Prix, aren't we? For how Red Bull don't win a Grand Prix.
Even 2016, Mercedes, they had two races they didn't win that season out of 21. One of them, they crashed into each other.
Yeah.
And one of them, Rosberg got taken out of turn one and Hamilton had a failure. That's the sort of thing you're looking at. Because otherwise...
That's the only way.
Otherwise, Mercedes would have won every race in the 21 race season.
Yes. Yeah. And I just don't believe the law of average and statistics will allow Red Bull to win every single race this year. But of course, you know, as we come off the summer break, though, Verstappen on an 8-in-a-row win streak now, second best of all time. You know, he's only going to need... I mean, Zandvoort will equal him with Sebastian Vettel for 9 in a row. And then, of course, you look towards Monza, don't you? I could be there for the record-breaking win.
10 in a row.
10 in a row. That'd be insane.
Verstappen
especially in Ferrari's backyard.
Like we said at the start of the year, I remember freaking you out by saying that Verstappen could equal Senna this year with wins.
Yeah.
And he already has. And he could equal Prost in the end.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? The fact that he could go straight up to P3 in the overall wins list this year. You know, he could still beat out
Seb.
He could beat out Seb still.
He's on 45 wins. What on earth?
He's only got to win 8 of the last 10.
Only, yeah. That's easy going, isn't it? I mean, it is based on the first half of the year.
I know, he's 53 for Seb, isn't it?
Yeah, so he needs 8 more
wins.
So
he could be tied with him by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, 45, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Scary.
Ridiculous.
Scary thoughts, isn't it?
He's going to be statistically in the top three by the end of next year, for sure. So, yeah. We're living in Verstappen's world in F1. And I think ever since he made his debut, we kind of knew this was coming.
We always feared this would be the case, didn't we?
Because he's relentless. And, you know, he's got the perfect storm of what you want in a driver. He's ruthless. He's obviously ridiculously fast. He doesn't take any prisoners. And yeah,
he's also got the personality of wallpaper paste.
No, he's quite funny.
He does. He's so boring.
I find him funny.
He's so boring. But this is the thing, though, when people go on, obviously, about like the Hamilton dominance and things like that. You know, at least Hamilton at the end of a Grand Prix would show emotion. No, he wasn't. He was showing emotion. You know, he was dedicating wins to frenzied loss.
He felt like an actor, Hamilton. He was like saying the right things on paper with the right personality.
Behave.
I don't know.
But Max comes across the line every week and goes, "Yes, boys! Yay!" and just wins again. It's so dull.
Oh, that was a lovely race.
So dull. Yeah. Simply lovely. Like, get in the bin, mate.
I love him.
Yeah, it's just so annoying. It's just the way he wins as well.
Sounds like he's rent-free in your head, to be honest.
He is rent-free in my head. I'm not even going to argue against it. Give me 2021 back, man. Let me have a Lewis championship.
What? The championship Verstappen won that year.
No, well, not really, but still. I mean, the only thing that really could stop Red Bull at the moment is if, of course, they've broken the budget cap again and the FIA throw the book at them, which I don't think they do anyway.
No, I think Red Bull are sensible enough to not break it badly enough for a sporting penalty.
Well, they're the rumoured team to have done it
again, they will have broken it again, but they'll have broken it for a fine because FIA are dumb.
So... yeah, that needs to get fixed, doesn't it? Which we spoke about before. But I mean, yeah, we both predicted Red Bull to win out this world championship. We both predicted Verstappen on top. You said Perez P2. I had a bit of hopium and said he was in P4. To be fair, if Alonso and Hamilton keep cooking, optimistic, but could happen. That would be quite funny.
Nah, Perez already
but I think sensibly you're locked in.
Yeah.
Yeah, sensibly they're locked in for quite an easy 1-2. And obviously a third world championship for Max Verstappen.
Yes.
Things you love to hear, apparently.
Oh, we do. We do. He's on his way to number 8.
Sorry?
8 world championships.
He won't win 8 world championships in a row.
No, he won't, not in a row, but he could. He's 25. It's like, it's insane.
He is 25 still, isn't he? I keep forgetting he's only a couple of years older than us.
Yeah. And he's...
Oh, God.
And he's on 45 race wins.
Let's just watch different motorsport, Jamie. Please.
Our only hope is that Verstappen gets bored and goes somewhere else.
I mean, that's what I'd love to see. Funnily enough, I was actually watching an interesting video this morning talking about... Do you remember back in 2018 where Alonso and Lando Norris did Daytona 24?
No, actually, I don't.
You don't? Very, very interesting. Wow. Very, very interesting. But I think overall, though, Jamie, looking at our predictions, we've had a couple of stinkers, but generally, we've done all right, I would say.
And I don't think we deserve massive amounts of credit when it was kind of an evolution rather than a revolution for the rule cycle this year. But
we've done okay.
We'll go through it properly and give out points and stuff at the end of the year. We actually have our own little race predictions, don't we? So that's actually, I think we're level.
We did not do Belgian ones officially. So I outscored you, I'm not going to classify those.
Good.
give you that one
so I'm
point
1 point
or
ahead
disadvantage.
Going into the second half.
Yeah, exactly.
And a tweet is on the line.
Second half of the season then, Jamie. Get me a clip in. Bold prediction.
Bold prediction for the second half. Okay. Fernando Alonso wins the race.
Interesting.
Number 33. Okay. Load it up.
Okay. The clips are going to love that. Thank you very much. I am going to say then, for my fanboyism and my hopium, Hamilton is going to win the Red Bull win streak. Win 104. Please, Lewis, come on, do it for me. But yeah, don't think there's anything else we need to cover, Jamie. I think we've done everything we wanted to today.
Yeah, I think so.
Wonderful. Well, thank you all so much, as always, for watching. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like. Get yourself subscribed. Like we said, obviously, follow the Known World Podcast channel down in the description below, obviously, if you're listening here on YouTube. And yeah, we'll be back probably next week then, hopefully back on our normal Tuesday time slot, with an iceberg video, Jamie. Looking forward to that as we delve into, I think, tier 3.
Yes, that'll be a lot of fun.